1968 was a big year in the United States. It was the year some of the world's greatest scientists started studying the effects humanity was having on the environment on a global scale, and it was the year Dr. King was assassinated, and it was the year some anarchists shut down the Democratic National Convention. On one side, scientists were saying that if we were going to escape a global environmental disaster, radical social change would be necessary. And on the other side, some people were making radical social change happen. That year, my dad was going to college to be a mathematician. The environmental scientists began studying humanity's relationship to the global environment mathematically. The fact that the population of the world kept growing, but the land area of the world stayed the same, was their first big warning sign that we had a problem. Feeding people requires farmland, and there was a physical limit on the amount of available farmland in the world. If we didn't stop our population growth ourselves, it was only a matter of time before famine would stop it for us. That's just math. My dad realized that one more mathematician wasn't going to solve the problem, and radical social change isn't taught in college. So he dropped out of college to go learn what his college professors weren't teaching him. That's how he met my mom. So I can say that I owe my birth to the environmental science movement, and now I've got a score to settle. I'm descended from four generations of engineers. My great-great-grandfather was one of the five architects who helped Pierre Eiffel design the Eiffel Tower. My grandfather designed airplanes back in the early days of aviation before there were computers, which is to say, back in the days when the engineer was the computer. My dad was an architect for a long time, which is really just a combination of carpentry, math, physics, drawing, and sculpture. But he also personally built everything he designed, which means that, in his company, the workers, namely him, controlled the means of production. In his company, the workers only built energy-efficient houses. He was also a teacher for a long time, and later a sociologist. Teaching is really mental engineering, because in order to teach anyone anything, you have to figure out how to assemble the right combination of ideas in their brains that will make them learn what they're supposed to learn. Teaching in public high school didn't suit him very well, because he soon discovered that he was required by law not to assemble an effective combination of ideas in his students' brains. The law didn't actually say that, but that's what they resulted in. That's what happens when people who graduated from white-collar colleges design education programs for kids from blue-collar backgrounds who have no interest in going to college. Then my parents spent the latter half of their working lives working as foster parents for kids who had been confiscated by the Department of Human Services because their parents were severely negligent, abusive, alcoholics, mentally ill, or whatever. The way these kids were learning to interact with the world, they were going to end up homeless or in jail. The administrators who ran that program at least could see that the things these kids needed to learn were so fundamental and so critical that the foster parents were going to have to figure out for themselves what each kid needed to learn and how they needed to learn it. Undoing 14 years of child abuse ain't easy, you know. So now it's 2008. A lot of people all over the world are starting to realize humanity is in a lot of trouble. They're realizing that politicians aren't doing nearly enough to solve the problem, and that some people are making a lot of money by making our problems worse. Now a lot of people are saying that radical social change is necessary. Here's the big problem. The whole reason we got into the global environmental crisis in the first place is because there are certain patterns of cause and effect that make the global environment work that have never been critical to people's survival and reproduction before now. Some scientists began studying human psychology as a part of environmental science about 25 years ago. The environment works according to certain rules that we don't naturally perceive. Scientists figured these things out because they found some clues that didn't fit with everything else people thought they knew. So some scientists began tugging on loose threads and have unraveled some really big mysteries. Environmental science, including evolutionary psychology, is now complete enough as a body of information that it can be referred to as planetary biology. The big problem is that these scientists' discoveries are a big threat to a lot of powerful people. These scientists have been able to unravel these mysteries because they're very good at it, and they spend a lot of time working at it. But no voting majority of Americans is ever going to figure those things out on their own. So all the politicians and capitalists have to do to cripple the field of planetary biology is to keep the public from learning certain critical pieces of information. Not teaching people these things in public school is one way they do that. The evolution versus intelligent design debate was another way they discouraged people from learning about science. Helping to spread the New Age myth that all reality is subjective and that science doesn't really mean anything and that the secret to happiness in life is to do whatever feels right to you is another. If the majority of people do whatever they feel to be right, they'll just make the environmental crisis worse. If people try to have a revolution and say that everyone has to be free to do what they feel to be right, all they're going to do is to validate the oppressor's political system, because then the most radical activists in the world are going to be using an ideology that still can't solve the problem. Now politicians and capitalists, who assume the world revolves around money and power, are meddling in science and tampering with forces they obviously don't understand. They're trying to manipulate the environment to turn it into a weapon that can be used to control everyone else. But anyone who believes they can control the environment that well obviously doesn't understand anything about planetary biology. This is not to say that all politicians and capitalists are doing this. Some really are trying to help solve the problem, but they don't even understand the problem well enough to realize they aren't solving it. Some others are trying to make some fast money and win votes by cashing in on the new supply and demand relationships that the environmental crisis is causing. But there are a few who have been paying attention, who are really good at manipulating people, and who are playing everyone. Who exactly those people are isn't the point. The point is, some people are in the position that they could be doing this, which makes it inevitable that some people are doing it. Every social structure that makes oppression possible works the same way. I don't really care who those people are. I know other people are keeping track of them, so I don't bother with pointing fingers. The world's first successful atomic fission experiment was carried out by German physicists in 1938. Albert Einstein lived in Germany at the time. He could see what was about to happen, so he fled Germany to warn the Americans that the Nazis were trying to build the atom bomb. A few years after that, my grandfather's airplane factory was manufacturing bombers. He and some other engineers started to wonder at one point if they should quit their jobs and go join the Air Force, which was part of the Army at the time. But then someone pointed out that the only reason the United States had an Air Force was because they were building it. Now the world's greatest scientists are scratching their heads trying to figure out why politicians keep ignoring planetary biology. A lot of activists are trying to have a revolution for environmentalism, but don't know about the scientists' discoveries and are making a lot of mistakes. The only thing the revolution is missing is an air force. What the revolution is missing is an easy way to inflict a huge amount of damage on the capitalists, so that all the people who have been figuring out new ways we could be doing things can get the chance to put their ideas to use. That's not hard at all. All of biology is engineering because all of biology is a collection of choices among trade-offs, energy efficiency, costs, benefits, uses, functions, and adaptations. In my family, everyone has been learning all that stuff around the supper table for 5 generations. Figuring out how planetary biology works has been a lot of hard work. But now that it has been figured out, understanding how it works is fairly simple. There are only 3 basic things you need to know to understand planetary biology conceptually, even without having any scientific background. First, everything in the world wears out eventually. Second, children inherit their characteristics from their parents. Third, the universe and the Earth are very old. The core of planetary biology follows from the interactions among those 3 things. All you need after that is a basic awareness of the existence of atoms, molecules, cells, genes, heat, light, gravity, electricity, and a few other things you learn in high school. I've known a lot of thoughtful teenagers who can see that they're inheriting a world full of problems they never voted for and that they have no idea how to solve. Once I show you how planetary biology works, at the end of the book, I show you how any high school student in America who can get a biology teacher and a physics teacher in a room together can ask a series of 11 yes or no questions that can prove that capitalism can't possibly have a future that is not synonymous with mass murder. Not on this planet, and not on any other planet in the universe. There is nothing left that anyone can discover that will prove otherwise. Any capitalist or politician who claims there is claiming to know something about science that scientists have never discovered. So, how can anyone build an intellectual air force for an anarchistic revolution? Simple. All I have to do is to build it. If I do that much, I know someone's going to use it. I don't have to decide who that person is going to be because the laws of physics work the same way everywhere in the world. Anyone who can read this book can be their own Air Force.